Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, I don't know what we're talking about. Esther knows what we're talking about, so I'm going to bring her in. Good morning, Esther. How are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. How are you? We're getting ready for spring.
Yes, finally. Good gravy. It's about time. Yeah, I feel like I've been hibernating like all winter because it's really cold here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You're ready for spring?
A lot of gray, gray days. Hopefully those will be ending soon.
So you're ready?
I am ready. What to talk about today, what we are talking about is the transition of divorce and specifically the top five ways I help women navigating that particular transition. But I'll also include things that even if someone isn't working with somebody, some of these will apply as well.
Okay. So where do we start with this subject? This is a tough one.
Oh, it's really tough. It's just so difficult. I want to first start with making a distinction between someone who is considering divorce or in the process of getting divorce versus the divorce settlement is final. Okay. I work with clients in the latter category. They come to me once their settlement is resolved. But if somebody is considering divorce, I want to recommend the services of a certified divorce financial analyst. They're also known as a CDFA.
Gotcha. Yeah, I actually have a client that I worked with when I was coaching her, and she got her CDFA, and it was a great process. It was very, very eye-opening on how much they can do, but I don't think your audience knows too much about it. Can you give us the distinction between a CDFA and a CFT, which that's what you got your designation in last year.
That's right. Last year, CFT and CFP. CDFAs can also be CFTs and CFPs, but they typically are in a more limited engagement. They don't necessarily have to be. There are those who work ongoing with clients as well, but there are those who set up their practice to include a limited engagement to work with somebody considering divorce so that they can look at the assets and say, this is what, how, this is one way. They're not a lawyer, they're not a judge, so they can't say this is how it will fall out, but these are things that you should really consider. So they'll look at the tax impact of separating property, what's called the liquidity impact, and what that means in English is how much money somebody can expect to have to live on, and other issues besides the fact around here, housing is so expensive, so considering how will you maintain two households, but also what will happen with your medical insurance? How do we separate retirement plans? So they address the impact of all of those things typically on a limited engagement, and they can work through a divorce process with somebody as well.
Got it. So what do you do specifically then as opposed to them?
Well, I work ongoing with the funds that come afterwards. So the settlement is resolved. Mm-hmm. The client has a certain amount of assets, perhaps the home, and they need to say, okay, how am I going to make all of this work? We've decided this is our separation of assets. Now I need to move forward with my life. Before we go into that, just know I do plan on doing a separate podcast engaged with a CDFA, but if anyone wants to learn more about this, the best is to go to their website, which is Institute D as in divorce, F as in financial, A as in analyst.com. Don't Google CDFA because you'll get the California Department of Food and Agriculture if you do that.
That totally different department. Totally different department. Yep, got it.
So when I am working with a newly divorced client, the first thing is to make sure that our meetings are a very safe space for the client. Mm-hmm. I think the reason a number of women don't come in is because they may not feel confident about financial knowledge, or they may be very busy with work and family. They may be quite emotionally raw and not sure about having any type of technical financial discussion. So it's really important that people do come in sooner rather than later. And when they know that I first create a very safe space to hear what's going on, that can help reduce the anxiety, because divorce can trigger so many feelings.
Yeah. You know, tons of emotions involved there.
It's very emotional. And someone may be worried, like, oh, I won't be able to hold it together. Or, you know, that's fine. That's actually being quite human. This is a loss. It can be a loss of very important relationship that was something important to them for a long time. So there's grief with that. It is a change of identity. I know when I lost my husband, all of a sudden, I wasn't a wife anymore. I wasn't a Mrs. anymore. Not even though when people say, you know, Mrs. Sabo or Mrs. Weber, because I'm hyphenated, it always makes me think of my mom or his mom. But all of a sudden, I wasn't tethered to anybody in that way anymore. And it felt really vulnerable.
Yeah, it's a huge change. Even just that name change can be monumental.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're filling out forms and you're not filling them out as married.
Mm-hmm.
You're not checking that box anymore. So there's loss in that. There's a feeling of shame with divorce. With loss of a spouse, it's not necessarily shame. It's typically feelings of being, you know, guilty. Mm-hmm. But that can be so with divorce as well. But there's often shame. What was wrong with me that I couldn't make this work? This wasn't a success.
Yep.
And then there's often feelings of scarcity. You know, how am I going to be able to continue to afford my lifestyle, or even afford a reduced lifestyle? What does that look like? It feels really scarce, and that can feel very scary.
Yeah, I didn't think about scarcity, but that's a great word for it.
Yes. And that's something that's underlying so many things, but definitely in divorce as well. So part of it is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And another part of making the space safe for the client is also asking questions, not just about the financial details, but about the personal ones as well. So we can explore, what are their attitudes about money? What are their values and their beliefs? So I can begin to learn about them. There's so often this feeling, going from the comment about scarcity, women, so often, you do not hear this from men. You hear about bag lady syndrome from women over and over and over. I should say, I hear about this. There is this fear that, and anger, I guess I should also say, there's often anger as well. I provided so much for this family for so long, or I gave so much, or this happened in the recession of 2008-09, that, gosh, I did everything right, and I'm ending up losing. Mm-hmm. And the picture just scrolls all the way down to being homeless and pushing a shopping cart.
Yeah, that's scary.
It's very scary. And then again, with that is often the feeling of anger of, I didn't deserve this. So there, I really normalize those feelings. Nothing is that out of the scope of normal for what it is like to go through a transition like divorce. So that's the first thing, is creating that very safe space for someone to show up as they are and let me know more about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is that we determine, how is it best? What helps them, the client, feel the most productive in meetings? I do have a quote unquote bad habit of this, because clients tend to, especially after they've known me for a while and we've worked together for a while, they don't see me as often. They don't come in as frequently. So I do want to, and I so respect their time. And it's the same with a new client as well. We're all so time starved that I want to pack everything I can into that meeting.
Yeah.
And that is not necessarily what is most productive for the receiving end, especially with finance and going through transition as emotional. We can all get to overload, or clients can get to overload relatively quickly.
Yeah, I think with everything that's going on, specifically in a divorce type of transition, they're already drinking from the fire hose, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. So you being there to be able to turn that valve and slow things down a little bit, I think is invaluable.
Yes, slowing things down. I love that. I mean, doesn't that, it just feels calming just hearing that?
Absolutely.
We can slow things down. What will make them feel the most comfortable and productive in meetings? Do they need a shorter meeting, i.e. a 45-minute meeting? Mm-hmm. Or maybe they need some phone contact for 15-minute, 30-minute check-in in between meetings just to keep on track or just to stay in touch? Do they like graphics and visuals? Do charts and tables make them just, you know, where their eyes roll back in their head? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to deliver information? Is it useful if we give them their agenda in advance? For some people, they're like, nope, I'm not even going to look at it. Others are like, yeah, that helps me really key in to what we're talking about.
That's great.
And then afterwards, do they need a follow-up afterwards? Do they need a note to say, this is what we talked about. These are the three things. And we will see you or talk to you on X date for this amount of time. See you then. Some people, again, they say like, nope, I'm organized. I've got it. That's just one more thing I don't need to look at. Or someone say, yeah, that really helps me. So determining how best a client is going to experience a meeting is another really important thing, working through that divorce period. Mm-hmm. And then the next is determining who is on their team of support. So this can be someone, even if they're not working with a financial advisor or wealth manager, just to really list out who is, if they haven't done it already, who is on my team of support for personal support and financial. So if it's personal support, is there a therapist or a counselor, or are there family members that they can trust, good friends? Sometimes even an attorney can be helpful if they need to go back over it again. These legal documents are not necessarily easy to understand, or it's very, very common that they go, oh gosh, I understood it then. Now I've forgotten what this means. Mm-hmm. So is the attorney a team member too? And then support groups for navigating this change can be really helpful to hear from other people going through it too. So one doesn't feel so much like a fish really out of water.
Yeah, absolutely. Having those personal connections can mean the world to somebody. I mean, a lot of people I would assume, I've never been through a divorce, but even in losing a friend or a family member to death, a divorce, you can feel so alone. And I think that's the biggest thing we want to take away from people is that feeling of being alone. You know, they have somebody that has either been through it before and can walk alongside them, or knows how they feel, or has worked with so many people in their situation that they're the expert at doing that. I think that is the biggest help that anybody can get, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is so easy to look at everyone else. Again, I haven't been divorced either, but I did lose my husband. And I remember taking a walk in my neighborhood and just looking at all the houses and thinking, your life is perfect, isn't it? Hope you're happy. Well, I had no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to make up a story like that. Like everything's great for everyone else and I got screwed. And so having those connections, I think one can't necessarily escape that one is alone on one level.
Yeah.
But still to have those touch points along the way, so it's not such a constant grinding feeling and that can get isolative. And again, this is a Women in Wealth podcast. When we're isolated, when we're not taking care of ourselves, we are not going to make the best financial decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or and health decisions for that matter.
Decisions at all, right?
Yeah.
Decisions on our self-care, our health, our rest, our ability, any of that, because all of that is just feeds a good life. And when we're isolating, that tends to really drain those resources.
Yeah.
On the financial side, does somebody have a tax preparer? Do they have an estate attorney? Because your estate plan is changed.
Mm-hmm.
You're likely not going to pass everything to that spouse. How are you going to plan for your children? In some cases, the spouse I have seen it where the divorced spouse is the successor trustee for a wife's estate so that they're there for the children and they feel comfortable with that. But and that's the exception rather than the rule. So he who is going to step in, how about insurance, whether it's for medical or your vehicle and home, your umbrella insurance, and maybe even a realtor is needed to, and somebody who one is comfortable with discussing, because the home is a tough thing. We're going to do a whole other podcast on real estate with women in transition, but I would much rather that someone have contact with a realtor they feel really trusting of maybe years before they need to sell that home and property rather than saying, okay, I need to do this next year. I need to, you know, find somebody right away.
Got it. Yeah. The other thing is that I think a lot of people think that a divorce is, okay, it's going to take 4 months. It's going to take 6 months and then I'm done, right? I'm just done. Thank God I'm out of this marriage, or thank goodness this is, I'm done with this. But that's just not reality. This is, you are still tied to that person pretty much for the rest of your life in one way or another. And so whether it's you have children and you have to see them because it's best for the children, or you're receiving alimony and or child support, that child support's going to change once the kids age out, turn 18 or 19, depending on the state. There's all sorts of changes that will be all along the way. I have family members that went through a divorce 25 years ago, and they're still at holiday parties together. I mean, they didn't go together, but they're both there. And there's still some little digs here and there that happen, still a little bit of drama here and there that happen, because there's still raw wounds and injury from 25 years ago. So it's not a one and done thing. So to have these financial professionals walking alongside you, as well as a counselor or family members that are supportive, support groups, vitally important for the distance. And I know that that's something that you pride yourself in, is having these relationships. In this situation, how long does your job last, Esther, when it comes to helping a woman in transition from divorce?
Well, I appreciate that you brought that up, because it can take, there is this pressure of, okay, I've got to wrap all this stuff up. And it, exactly as you said, it takes years. My clients typically do stay with me long after the divorce. I have a client who was just kind of gave up on navigating her divorce after about a 5 or 7 year battle, really. Finally just said, I don't want to spend any money, more money on attorneys. I just am done. So she didn't get the settlement that she wanted, but she needed to just be done with that process. But the dealing with the husband continued all the way through the children had graduated and gotten master's degrees. So, and when she divorced, they were like 11 and 13 years old. It can be a long, long time that we just walk through it. And now the kids are launched and living on their own. And now, because I think there isn't really much in the way of financial connection, she can have some limited dialogue with her ex and it's not fraught. But yes, it takes a long, long time. And now what we're looking at is her own retirement. What does her future look like more specifically? How do we get that? And the hard thing is always, where are the kids going to be and how do we stay close with that? But that, there's always something, as Roseanne Rosanna would say.
Yeah. And
but yes,
once grandkids come, once grandkids come in the picture, it's right back at it, right? I mean, that's, you know, so it's going to tie them right together again. And that's kind of the same scenario that we're facing. So yeah, fun stuff. Long term.
But that's the type of thing we look at, is time sensitivity. So the fourth thing is, what are the critical tasks that need to be done in what order of time sensitivity? And that is really key for so many clients, whether it's the personal, you know, I need to find a counselor, I need to find a support group, or I need to make sure I'm exercising, whatever those things are. But the financial, there's can feel like a lot of pressure. I would say there's often the most feeling of pressure around investing the money. And I tend to say that that is not so critical. Again, I have to look at what the particular circumstance is, but many times it's not as urgent. They feel like, okay, I've got to invest the money within 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, because this is going to provide for me. Well, first, I suggest let's first determine how your expenses are being covered now. Do you have adequate coverage of your expenses with whatever cash flow is coming in? Do you need to pull from that investment portfolio? If you do, let's just make sure that you have enough set up for 6 months of expenses or 9 months, just to give yourself time, maybe even a year, and then look at what our reserves are for refilling that. Then we start to look at how to invest the portfolio that makes the most sense. Too many times people rush into portfolios and they either make commitments to investment products that can lock them in and make it hard to make changes later or expensive to make changes later, or they move in too aggressively into a portfolio, not having a clear awareness of how they might respond should the market sell off. And here we go again with those feelings of scarcity and anger and all of that. So we want to step into the investment portfolio very clear-headedly.
Absolutely.
And the last two things on the, what I'm saying is some pieces on the now list is, well, it's really sorting out what is on my now list. Before I get into what the pieces are on there, what are things that need to be done now? Mm-hmm. And we agree together, what's now? Is that this week? Is it within the next 6 weeks? What's the time period? What things should be done soon, but they don't need to be done now, i.e. within the next 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, maybe just take the rest of the year, and what things are later? So going back to your earlier point about time, there are some things that will just take some time to sort out where someone is landing. Mm-hmm. They may be considering re-entering the workforce or changing their job, and they may benefit from the use of a career counselor or a career coach or someone who is skilled in terms of their particular area and saying, what are the opportunities? That may take a while to source that person. It's really looking at what is critical and what we can hold off. And they really appreciate what I found with my clients is there's the emotional support, but also the technical expertise to say, you know what? Yes, this can, we can hold off on that for a few months. It's not going to undermine you in the next few months. I will hold that piece and I will, you know, you will be accountable. We will be accountable to you, but we're not looking at that piece right now. So the fourth thing is really prioritizing those critical tasks in terms of time sensitivity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last thing for the fifth is, well, let's get to work on the now part. Mm-hmm. Let is, as I mentioned earlier, let's confirm what you need to cover your expenses in the near term, if that's a question. See, they're just examples. Let's confirm your reserves. One of the things is let's change the beneficiaries on your retirement plans. Too often, I have a situation right now with a client whose husband passed away. He hadn't renamed her as beneficiary. That is going to take some work. It's not a huge IRA, but because it's not a huge IRA, it's almost more frustrating because there's a lot of work and legal pieces that need to be done to basically change it in the state of California. Let's get those things handled right away and also get accounts set up in one's own name right away and perhaps set up with an estate planning attorney, because who do you want to handle your affairs in the event that you're not able? Who do you want to basically help make your decisions in the event that you're not able to.
Yeah.
So those would be the things, is getting to work on the now.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is like we said before, it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing relationship because, as you said, you bring the relationship, but you also bring that technical expertise that people need. And most people don't know what they need because they just don't know what they don't know. Like, for instance, you said that you have one of your clients. Now you're looking at her own retirement plans, right? Mm-hmm. She's been divorced for many years. You know, the kids were 11 and 13 or whatever back when that started to happen. And now it's completely changed. And one thing that most people don't know is that there are certain rules about Social Security. You can actually take half of your ex-husband's Social Security, not take it, but get up to half of what he has.
You're entitled to it.
Exactly. And so if he, for instance, gets $2,000 a month for Social Security and your Social Security check is $750, you can actually if you follow certain rules, and that's why you have to speak with Esther or a professional about this, you'll actually get 1,000 instead of that 750 because that's an option for you. And most people don't know that. And so without consulting somebody, they can make detrimental decisions to their financial future just by the fact that they don't know that there are things out there to help people that have been through a divorce or who have lost a spouse. So it's so important to get a hold of a professional and do that.
Yes. And you have to have been married 10 years in order to qualify for that. But if you have, yes. And it is, it's looking at all of those things where we say, yeah, have you considered this particular scenario? This client, it's so interesting that you brought that up because this client that I'm mentioning, they were married for just a hair over 10 years.
Perfect.
I mean, it was just a hair over 10 years. So we made sure that that was clear. And we'd certainly been discussing retirement, but it's different discussing retirement when you're kids are 10 and 13 and your focus is really on normalizing their life as much as possible to when you are now getting quite close to that age and you really would like to retire and having that focus now on you. But you're right. There are so many intricacies. There's things about retirement plans and how those work and how to take advantage of them or not, or 529 plans, all those things that can make people go, "Ish, this is why I don't like financial, but this is what we love about just all employing all the different tools and strategies."
Yeah, absolutely. Esther, let me speak to the audience. If you're listening to this and any of these thoughts or concerns or questions or points that Esther has brought up, if it rings true with you and you have questions, you've got to reach out. So Esther, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to our website, gatespassadvisors.com, and hit the schedule a consultation button. That's probably the easiest.
And free, correct?
And completely free.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anything else for closing thoughts today, Esther?
Well, I think the main thing is it's so important that in my service to clients, we allow that space to navigate the difficult emotions and still at the same time receive the validation, the guidance, and support to move forward on one's own individual path.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time today, Esther.
Thank you, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. And thank you all for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And if you've got a friend or a family member that has gone through a divorce or is going through a divorce or is contemplating that divorce, share this with them because it's great information. And like Esther said, she doesn't really work on the front end before the divorce is finalized, but she knows people that do and she has the resources that she can point them to. So please share it with them. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.